Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to New Heights Show on Education. This is your host, Kathy Woodring. Today's show topic is The Great Awakenings. You can call in to speak to me anytime during this show at 347-633-9225 or contact New Heights at 419-786-0247 or New Heights Education at yahoo.com or visit our site at www.newheightseducation.org. New Heights continues to offer its biweekly enrichment day and or co-op classes. The next class will be on February 28th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Classes will be held in Defiance at the Zion Lutheran Church. Please note that the classes are not religion-based unless the families want there to be a religion-based class. Parents and students are required to participate in these classes and help with the planning of them. Enrichment Day classes are in the planning process. So far, we will be offering a reading time, science class, and Irish dancing and karate, and are open to more suggestions. Students are invited to not only attend but participate in instructing some of the classes. If you are interested in participating, volunteering, or tutoring, please contact us directly. Tutors and/or teachers are needed. We are in need of tutors and/or teachers in Defiance and Putnam County, and anyone that would like to volunteer should contact us directly. There are also some paid opportunities. We currently need reading tutors. New Heights Education Group is proud to announce a new National Student Leadership Council. For many years, we have played a pivotal role in offering the Student Advisory Group for ages 7 and up, and will continue to offer this program. This will now be offered to students up to the 8th grade. All 9th grade college students aged 14 to 23 will be transferred to the Student Leadership Council. This is open to the public, and any student from any state is eligible to participate. All students entering the Leadership Council must have at least a 3.0 GPA. The council aims to help students build academics, talents, leadership, and community service, along with other skills. Now back to the show topic, The Great Awakening. There are several descriptions of the Great Awakening. A few concise explanations follow from AmericanHistoryAbout.com, subheading Colonial America. The Great Awakening was a period of great revivalism that spread throughout the colonies in the 1730s and 1740s. It de-emphasized the importance of church doctrine and instead put a greater importance on the individual and their spiritual experience. The Great Awakening arose at a time when men in Europe and the American colonies were questioning the role of the individual in religion and society. It began at the same time as the Enlightenment, which emphasized logic and reason and stressed the power of the individual to understand the universe based on scientific laws. Similarly, individuals grew to rely more on a personal approach to salvation than church dogma and doctrine. Jonathan Edwards was a key American revivalist during the Great Awakening who preached for close to 10 years in New England. He emphasized a personal approach to religion. He also bucked the Puritan tradition and called for unity amongst all Christians as opposed to intolerance. His most famous sermon was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, delivered in 1741. In his sermon, he explained that salvation was a direct result from God and could not be attained by human works, as the Puritans preached. A second important figure during the Great Awakening was George Whitefield. Unlike Edwards, Whitefield was a British minister who moved to colonial America. He was known as the Great Itinerant because he traveled and preached all around North America and Europe between 1740 and 1770. His revivals led to many conversions, and the Great Awakening spread from North America to the European continent. AmericanHistory.com continues with some significant facts about the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening pushed individual religious experience over established church doctrine, thereby decreasing the importance and weight of the clergy and the church in many instances. New denominations arose or grew in numbers as a result of the emphasis on individual faith and salvation, and it unified the American colonies as it spread throughout numerous preachers and revivals. This unification was greater than had ever been achieved previously in the colonies. Another concise description of the Great Awakening is at greatawakening.com, which states that unlike the somber, largely Puritan spirituality of the early 1700s, the revivalism ushered in by the Awakening allowed people to express their emotions more overtly in order to feel a greater intimacy with God. In the late 17th century England, fighting between religious and political groups came to a halt with the Glorious Revolution of 1688, an event which established the Church of England as the reigning church of the country. Other religions, such as Catholicism, Judaism, and Puritanism, were subsequently suppressed. From a political perspective, this led to stability since everyone now practiced the same religion. But instead of being a positive driving force for the religious belief in general, it created complacency and spiritual dryness among believers. Religion became something of a pastime in which people would go through the motions during religious services without deeply felt convictions of their heart and soul. It was only after some decades of this kind of complacency and both England and the American colonies that the spiritual revival of the Great Awakening came about. Now Pamela will talk about the effects of the Great Awakening.
Thank you, Kathy. The effects of the Great Awakening was the biggest sacrifice was the way it prepared America for its war of independence. And decades before the war, revivalism taught people that they could be bold when confronting religious authority, and that when churches weren't living up to the believers' expectations, the people could break off and form new ones. Through the Awakening, the colonists realized that religious power resided in their own hands rather than in the hands of the Church of England or any other religious authority. After a generation or two passed with this kind of mindset, the colonists came to realize that the political power did not reside in the hands of the English monarch, but in their own will for self-governance. Consider the wording of the Declaration of Independence. By 1775, even though the colonists did not all share the same theological beliefs, they did share a common vision of freedom from British control. Thus, the Great Awakening brought about a climate which made the American Revolution possible. On the GreatAwakening.com site, it continues with the above point. You can learn more about that, or the significance of how the Great Awakening links with the roots of revolution. Though a religious movement, the Awakening had repercussions in cultural and political spheres as well. customs of civility and courtesy, the governing norms of life in the colonies were set aside in favor of a more quarrelsome age. Practice and mindsets were changed by the awakening like never before, towards an American identity. Revivalism in the colonies did not form around a complex theology or religious freedom, but nevertheless, the ideas it produced opposed the notion of a single truth or a single church. As preachers visited town after town, sects began to break off, larger churches and multitude of Protestant denominations sprouted. The older groups that dominated the early colonies, the Puritans and the Anglicans, I think I'm saying that wrong, eventually began a drastic downward trend in popularity. Although they accounted for about 40% of American congregations, as late as 1760, that number eventually dropped to under 2.5% by 1790. The social effect of multitudes of new denominations were not, however, a fractioning of communities, but a unifying drive that helped to create a national consciousness. The effect of the Great Awakening unity was an attitude that went against the difference of thinking that consumed English politics and religion. Rather than believing that God's will was necessarily interpreted by the monarch or his bishops, the colonists viewed themselves as more capable of performing the task. The chain of authority no longer ran from God to ruler to people, but from God to people to ruler. The children of revivalism later echoed this radicalism and popular self-righteousness in the American Revolution, with the self-assertion turned against the tyrannical ways of George III. It was not to any church that the signers of Declaration of Independence appealed to, but directly to the supreme judge of the world. It was through the revivalism of the first half of the 18th century that the colonists were finally able to step out from under the first half of the 18th century, that the colonists were finally able to step out from under the protectorate of the established Christian churches and assert religious control over their own nation's destiny. Now, back to Kathy.
Thank you, Pamela. The Great Awakening continues with the effects of the Great Awakening on colonial culture, such as the growth of the notion of the state rule as a contract with the people. Parishioners during the revival gained an understanding of covenants with their churches as contractual schemes. They argued that each believer owed the church their obedience, and the church in turn owed their congregants the duty to be faithful to the gospel. Parishioners, therefore, reserved the right to dissolve the covenant and to sever ties with the church without prior permission. This notion of covenant was a popular one in Puritan society and reflected a common biblical understanding of association. Present in the Mayflower Compact and later forming an ideological basis for breaking from Great Britain, the notion of covenant grew to link religion and politics in the colonies. The ideals of puritanical covenant theology were manifested in the social compact of the Declaration of Independence. Under this theory, implicit in the Declaration, disassociated individuals in the state of nature agree to live and be bound together under consensual government. With the frequency by which believers broke away from larger churches to form splinter groups, the colonists must have been accustomed to separating themselves from larger institutions. The state of nature, evidently the famous natural law, is also addressed in the book The 5,000-Year Leap by Cleon Skolskin. Skolskin refers to Cicero and how he influenced the founding fathers. On page 38 to 39, Kloskin mentions that the Founding Fathers saw in Cicero's writings the necessary ingredients for their model society, which they eventually hoped to build. To Cicero, the building of a society on principles of natural law was nothing more or less than recognizing and identifying the rules of right conduct with the laws of the supreme creator or the universe. Cicero's compelling honesty led him to conclude that once the reality of the creator is clearly identified in the mind, the only intelligent approach to government, justice, and human relations is in the terms of that which the supreme creator has already established. The creator's order of things is called natural law. Now back to the information from GreatAwakening.com, which mentions that perhaps the greatest fuel added to the revolutionary fire that began burning in the latter half of the 18th century was religious pluralism within the colonies. Unlike England, which after the Glorious Revolution of 1688 had become spiritually stagnant under the Church of England, the colonists adhered to no single denomination. The splits in churches that revivalism had caused prevented uniformity in religion from becoming a reality. While groups such as the Quakers and Anglicans still existed in areas, none could rise to dominate the religious scene and become the primary American religion. So long as the colonists did not become complacent, their religious zeal would come to burn strong. John Adams gave credit to the Great Awakening as the source of the motivation behind the war, and in certain parts of England, the revolution was even called the Presbyterian Rebellion. Great Awakening.com further addresses the shared goals of the colonists. The religious revival of the Great Awakening melded the colonists in a way that would not have been possible otherwise. 18th century Americans thought of religion as something communitarian, a form of social cooperation rather than a competitive endeavor of individuals that the world of commerce envisioned. Christians were told to be benevolent and to make self-sacrifices, and many were bound together by the way of their shared mass conversions. Thus, they could afford to make sacrifices for their land in times of need. Another shared sentiment of the chiefly Protestant nation was a fear of Catholic domination. While this feeling may have been contributed to by the fear of foreign political domination, the revivalist zeal of the colonists no doubt played a part in the anti-hierarchical nature of anti-Catholic attitudes. Through cataclysmic events such as world earthquakes in 1727 and 1755, expectations of new millennial age increased. The colonists viewed these as divine signs, and so when questions arose about the Antichrist, they turned to the Catholics. They considered the Pope to be the enemy of the French and Indian War and celebrations in Boston and in other places. Anti-Pope Day furthered Protestant zeal. Anti-Catholicism was one of the most prominent traits in the colonies prior to the Revolution. This attitude was significant in the New England way of life and existed not only in churches, but also in taverns, newspapers, and schools. Despite political and theological differences between colonists, one common understanding shared by all was an opposition to Roman Catholicism. So when the popish threat subsided somewhat with the passing of the French and Indian War, the colonists searched for a new Antichrist at which they could direct their attention. They found him in George III, who needed to be expelled from the colonies in order to bring forth the New Age of Righteousness. The religious fervor spawned by the Great Awakening provided the catalyst for political and military action. This action was necessary for fulfillment of religious expectations. The crusade against the Catholics provided the necessary focal point over the course of the 18th century until the new crusade against the British took over. The Land of the Brave mentions the purpose of the Great Awakening. And in their summary, the Great Awakening was a revivalist movement prompted during the 1700s by the diminishing role that religion played in the everyday lives of American colonists. Protestant churches and ministers concerned for the spiritual well-being of their congregations set in motion a series of religious revivals which were referred to as the Great Awakenings. The Great Awakenings encompassed political factions to effect religious, social, and political changes. The Great Awakening sought to use the basis of religion to revive faith in members of the congregation, hence the term revival and revivalist, and bring about social norms. The Land of the Brave continues with the purpose of the awakening, which they say is evangelism. The evangelical style of preaching and adhered to the beliefs of the evangelist. Evangelism was movement in church history that started at the Protestant Reformation. Evangelism was incorporated in the Great Awakening. Evangelists held conservative theological views, believing in the Bible as the word of God and sufficient for salvation, for the establishment of faith in that Jesus Christ is the sole source of salvation through faith in him. An evangelical is characterized by four elements: traditionalism, evangelicalism, biblicalism, and conversionism. The movements were characterized by revival meetings and emotional conversion. The First Awakening focused on church congregation, people who were already church members. It changed their piety, their rituals, and their self-awareness. The First Awakening sought to make reforms to the church. It also sought to make conversions within the church community. The First Awakening led to a division between the old lights and the new lights. Revivalists, or the new lights, split off from the Congregationalists, Anglicans, and Presbyterians, and formed their own denomination. Many new lights became Baptist and Methodist, and a new revivalist Presbyterian denomination was formed. The First Great Awakening emphasized personal freedom and repudiated slavery. The results of the First Awakening had many effects. The effects of the movement were faith in the Protestant religion was revived. There was a sharp general increase of interest in the subject of religion. Evangelical church membership significantly increased. Ardent and zealous enthusiasm of evangelical church members who had a profound sense of conviction and redemption. Also, a duty by believers to persuade others to accept Christ. Heated debates were between Protestants. The governments in the colonies passed laws to keep ecclesiastical order, fueling sentiment for the separation of church and state. Many converts separated from established churches to form churches with stricter membership requirements. It brought Christianity to African slaves, and people started to challenge established authority. There are some short facts that are from Fun with Trivia.com, such as: Joseph Smith in 1827 announced that an angel gave him a set of golden plates that meant that Jesus had visited the indigenous people of America. He later published the Book of Mormon. And this review covers the first and second Great Awakening, which occurred in colonial America. The next episode will continue with the efforts to relate the passions of the early settlers. Thanks for joining us tonight, and please join us again Sunday at 11 p.m. Please remember to join Sadia Ijaz on Fridays at 6 p.m. and Kaden Behan on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Thanks for listening, and have a great night.
You're right.